I've read the fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. As you deal with my condemner, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on.
All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 21F, the perfect number 12. You know, God not only speaks to us through words, he also speaks to us through the use of symbolic numbers used throughout the entire Bible, especially in this book of Revelation. And as you can see from the list here, it becomes obvious that God wants us to know that the number 12 is an important number associated with New Jerusalem. I mean, we see, in fact, it's the prevailing number associated with New Jerusalem. We found out that there were 12 gates to New Jerusalem. 12 angels were standing at those gates. The names of the 12 tribes were written above those gates. There were 12 foundations to New Jerusalem made of gemstones with the 12 apostles written on them, with the names of the 12 apostles written on those foundation stones. And then there were, in the 22nd chapter, when we get to that, we're going to find out that the tree of life inside of New Jerusalem has 12 varieties of fruits upon it. And 12, we found out that there's a 144 cubit high wall that surrounds New Jerusalem, which is 12 times 12 or 12 squared. The width, the length and the width of New Jerusalem is 12,000 furlongs. And another interesting one that I found out here recently is that a cube has 12 edges to it. You know, we went back and forth and we were talking about, you know, whether or not New Jerusalem is a pyramid or whether it's a cube. Well, this piece of evidence here may suggest that it is a cube, you know, with the 12 edges. Still open to the possibilities on either side, but I'm leaning more towards the cube at this point. Here was a slide that we did from our the board that we had for our children's study when we talked about the tree of life. But you find out here that there were 12 different fruits, and we got them color coordinated here. It seems as, you know, there was a new fruit that was produced every month. And here we got it separated out in like what we'd have the seasons, you know, 3 months to a season, or 3 times 4 or 4 times 3. And what's interesting about this is that the 12 stones in the high priest's breastplate were arranged like this. So we see this number 12 over and over again throughout the Bible. And here we'll look at some other things here. The number 12, overall, what we're going to find out is the number 12 represents heaven on earth. Being, of course, that we just saw New Jerusalem, which is heaven on earth, containing that number 12 all over it. I mean, that's the primary factor of it. Okay, so actually, we'll do this here first. We'll go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. And we're going to read about the Lord's Prayer, you know, when God said that this is the way that Jesus said, this is the way you should pray. He says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. All right, so that's what this is all about. And the number 12 is a number symbolic of God's kingdom on this earth. And that's what we're supposed to be looking forward to, you know, when we say the Lord's Prayer. That's what Jesus told us to pray about is, Father, please send your kingdom upon this earth as it is in heaven. and make them become one. Make them become one. And then he continues on. He says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. The 12 sons of Jacob. You know, that was a... What we're going to do here is we're going to look at the number 12 used in various places of the Bible. And everybody knows this one here, the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. And what's interesting is their mission. God chose these tribes to be a royal priesthood to the world, teaching them what? The laws of God's kingdom. So here we go again. I mean, the basis, the basic number, the prime root of God's kingdom being 12. As he chose these 12 men to teach the laws of his kingdom. All right, then we moved on to the New Testament. God once again chose 12 men called the 12 apostles. And guess what their mission was? To go out and spread the gospel of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And there again, starting with 12 men on a mission. And then there are other places where, many other places in the Bible where 12 is used. In Revelation 12, verse 1, it says, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. These 12 stars, I have no doubt, represent the 12 signs of the zodiac. And we'll talk about that probably here in a little bit. Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and it says, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Speaking of Jesus here. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And then what happened here is Jesus goes into the temple and he's teaching the teachers of the law. At 12 years old. So why would God pick the number 12? Why would Jesus be 12 to do this? Interesting. I don't know exactly why, but it seems as though 12 is a benchmark of maturity in human life. And Jesus, when he hit that age of 12, it was time that he went in and started not start his official ministry, but started teaching about the kingdom of God and how it should operate there according to God's laws. So that's pretty interesting there. And we got in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 5, it says, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof. There it is, 12 cakes thereof. 2/10 deals shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in two rows, 6 on a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And then if you were to keep reading, you would find out that they did this every Sabbath day. They would replenish these loaves of bread. So there were 12 of them. 12, symbolic of God's kingdom. And there we see it again. This is officially, this was called the Table of Showbread, and it would be in the holy place of the tabernacle, as well as, I believe, the temple. Matthew 26, verse 53. Jesus says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" You know, why didn't he say 11 legions of angels, 11 legions of angels, or 8 or 9? But he said 12. 12 legions of angels. All right. Luke chapter 8, verse 42, and it says, "For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him," thronged Jesus. So there was a man here that had a daughter that was 12 years old, and she was dying. And there we go. We see that number 12 again. In verse 43, it says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched." In other words, she was healed just by touching him. But there it is. She had an issue of blood or some disease with her blood for 12 years. But when she touched Jesus, she was healed. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 4, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, there were 144,000. That is 12,000 from each tribe. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So there we have that number again, that number 12. When dealing with the kingdom of God. Matthew 19, verse 28, "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." That's, now we have 12 thrones preserved for the apostles who will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 7, "And Solomon had 12 officers over all Israel, which provided victuals for the king and his household, each man his month in a year, made provision." Now, this is kind of interesting because we have 12 officers, one for each month. But we know under the current solely lunar cycle that we have today, that some years equal 13 months. Or some years they got to throw in a 13th month. But originally, you know, when we read all the prophetic time in the Bible, in Revelation and Daniel, it talks about a perfect 360 day lunisolar year, as well as when you go all the way back to the book of Genesis during the days of Noah, the years or the months were 30 days, exactly 30 days each. And the year was 360 days. So there we have it again. I guess I'll say it this way. It's very interesting. It seems as though 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 7 is during the time of Solomon is alluding to the perfect 360 day lunisolar year, or you call it the 360 day prophetic year. Perhaps even all the way up to the time of Solomon, this calendar was still in place. Those of you who have been with us for a while, you remember we did a series of studies on God's calendar, and we talked about that 360-day prophetic year. All right, other usages of the number 12. There are many of them in nature. One we just touched on briefly was the 12 signs of the zodiac. The heavens, In other words, the heavens are divided up into 12 quadrants or 12 sections. And each one of these possibly even represents one of the 12 tribes of Israel. There are 12 hours on a clock, or, you know, there's 12 hours in the a.m. and 12 hours in the p.m. Our time is divided up into 2, or 12 plus 12, to equal 24 hours in a day. 12 inches in a foot. There are 12 men in an army squad. This actually happened to be the army squad, my army squad, when I was in Iraq in the year 2007. You see here we have 12 men plus an extra. We had a medic that was attached to our squad here this day during our picture. But so you'll see 13 men in this picture, but there are 12. The United States Army, to my knowledge, primarily uses 12 men for their squads. And we'll talk about why they would do that. Why 12? And why not, again, why not 9? Why not 11? Why not 14? Why is it 12? All right, keep that question in the forefront of your mind. We'll be talking, we'll be trying to answer that here in a little bit. There are 12 nerves in a human brain. And then now I'm going to read from Number and Scripture by E.W. Bullinger, a fascinating book, by the way, on biblical numerics. I mean, Dr. Bullinger did a bang-up job talking about numerics used in the Bible. Anyways, on page 253 of that, he talks about the Temple of Solomon. He says it has the number 12 as the predominating factor, in contrast with the tabernacle, which had the number 5. You know, that I didn't realize, that there was a difference, that there was this big of a difference in numerology with between the tabernacle and the temple, with the temple having 12. And this is what he has to say about it. This agrees with the grace which shines in the tabernacle and with the glory of the kingdom, which is displayed in the temple. In other words, he points this out because 5 is the number of grace, as you see throughout the Bible, whereas 12 is the number of God's kingdom. Pretty neat. Pretty neat. You know, when you start breaking down God's word, it's just so fascinating. His word is so complete. You know, I can't help but think of it as like the tree of life. I mean, it's constantly producing fruits for your soul. And you know, you get, once you are someone who's been studying, you know, a long time, and you think you got a lot of things figured out, all of a sudden there's another level that he can bring you up to, both in knowledge as well as in experience and maturity as one of his servants. And it just continually grows and multiplies, sort of like cells dividing in a living organism. All right, so here we got, we talked about that. Another good book on biblical mathematics is by evangelist Ed F. Vallow, and it's called Biblical Mathematics, Keys to Scripture Numerics, How to Count the Bible. And on page 98 of his book, he talks about the number 12. And I'll read it here. It says 12, he says, represents governmental perfection. This number symbolizes God's perfect divine accomplishment, activity manifested. It shows a completeness of a growth or administration. It shows, on 12 marks governmental perfection and is used as the signature of Israel. Now, this is an interesting point that he brought out here. He says, this number is used 187 times in the Bible. That's a lot of times. And it is used 22 times in the book of Revelation. And interesting, there are actually 22 chapters in Revelation. I don't know if there's some kind of a correlation there or not, but you see numbers have a meaning in the Bible. It's all over. God is you could call him the master mathematician, if you would. Of course, he's the master at everything. He's the best. But anyways, 12 is the number for government by divine appointment. All right. And I'd have to agree with him there. Governmental perfection, the number 12. All right, let's ask ourselves these two questions, or these questions here on this slide. But why 12? Why does God use 12 as the primary factor of things to do with his kingdom? What makes 12 more unique than other numbers? And our other question down here, it says, well, we talked about that, but I'll read it again. Why didn't God use the number 11, 13, 10, or 9 as the number for his kingdom, or the number to represent his kingdom? Well, the answer is really quite simple, basically, as far as I can see thus far, is that 12 is an immensely useful number for counting and dividing. It is one of the lowest easily divisible number. Should have numbers here. You know, it's really interesting. If you could even look this up in Wikipedia, you know, look up the number 12 in mathematics, and you'll find lots of different interesting things about it. Some a lot more complicated than we'll go on here today, but 12 is just, it's very useful for counting and dividing. For example, 12 can be divided into, 12 divided by 2 can be divided into 6, you know, equally divided into two groups of 6, or two groups or three groups of 4, or four groups of 3, or six groups of 2. You know, whether you're talking about time, whether you're talking about regions in the heavens, this number is the practical number to be used. You know, if you want to, let's just take this in teams. I mean, if you had an army squad, like I pointed out earlier, you could divide your squad up into two teams of 6 to go accomplish some task or some mission. You could, if your mission required something a little different, you could go 3 teams of 4, or 4 teams of 3, or 6 teams of 2. You couldn't do that with the number 11 as far as dividing it up evenly. 11 is not divisible by any number. 10 only has 2 factors, 2 and 5. 9 only divides into 3. You know, you could have 3 teams of 3. 6 only divides into half or thirds. 5 is a prime number. And 4 only divides into half. So there we could see, you know, God is very practical. He's very organized. He's very efficient. So we can learn a lot from our Heavenly Father. You know, let's just say you wanted a mission to get done, and you know, you got you're a business owner or something like that. Maybe 12 would be where you'd want to structure your teams on. Maybe that would be the prime number that you'd want to use for your business models of people, of organization, and things like that. All right, a tabernacle encampment. And the gates of New Jerusalem were divided into four sections, four parts with three on each side. And the heavens, I believe, is the zodiac is marked out like this as well, into four different quadrants. And what's interesting also, we were talking about an army squad. Well, there were four divisions of God divided the 12 tribes, the 12 tribes up into four divisions. In other words, each side here, whether you're on the north, the south, the west, or the east, had these were one major unit, one major brigade or division, and they flew by their own flags. I think even in the book of Ezekiel as well as the book of Revelation, you have that represented by the cherubim that have the face of the lion, the man, the ox, and the eagle. So that's pretty neat there as well. So if God has an army here that's marching off to war, he could easily just say, hey, divide up, you take these three and go do this mission. You take these three, go do that, and so forth. Very practical, very efficient. Three times four equals 12. And what's interesting about that is three in biblical numerics means divine or heavenly. And four usually always represents the earth. So what you have, these factors, factor into 12, obviously, represent the number 12 represents heaven on earth. And that makes so much sense because when we look at New Jerusalem, what is it? New Jerusalem is heaven on earth. And it's all built upon the foundation of the number 12. All right, so we can look at some other interesting factors of the number 12 or interesting mathematics in connection with the number 12. 12 plus 12 equals 24. Or, 12 duplicated. We know, of course, that the days, as we pointed out, are broken up like this. 12 hours of day, 12 hours of night, if you would, equals 24 hours in a day. Well, we also have 12 in New Jerusalem. You had the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 patriarchs, and the 12 apostles to get 24. So 24 is also an interesting number related to God's kingdom. There were 24 courses of the priesthood. There were 24 elders in the book of Revelation that surrounded God's throne. So there we see there that 24 is like the kingdom number amplified. But maybe not even as much as this number here that we're going to see. 12 times 12, or 12 squared, equals 144. And of course, we know that New Jerusalem's wall was 144 cubits high, and that there were 144,000 virgins that were with Christ on Mount Zion. Who are without fault before God's throne. And there were 12,000 from each tribe that were sealed prior to the Great Tribulation. So basically what we have with the number 12, and you could do a lot more than what we did here today. We basically just did a very quick overview of, because we're doing New Jerusalem and we're wondering why do we see 12 all over the place? Well, because 12 represents God's perfect government, his kingdom ruling heaven and earth. And again, it's the smallest number that can be divided up equally into many different sections. I guess we'll just look at this here. 12 is the, again, 12 is the prevailing number associated with New Jerusalem. There were 12 gates, there were 12 angels, 12 tribes, 12 foundations, 12 apostles, 12 varieties of fruits, 12 times 12 equals 144 cubit high wall, 12,000 furlong square base. There are 12 edges on a cube. So when we see 12 stamped all over New Jerusalem, now we have a better understanding why 12 is the perfect number for government and order, for division, for grouping things together. And, it's so neat to see how practical and organized our Heavenly Father is. I mean, we can learn from that again in our daily lives to try to be organized, to be efficient as His servants, to not be careless, unorganized, undisciplined, because we have a God of discipline, and New Jerusalem is going to be, heaven's going to be organized. It's going to be disciplined. It's going to make sense. And it's going to be such a wonderful place. I mean, I can't help but just dwell upon this a little bit during these times. You know, when we got a lot of work to do in this troubled world. But at the same time, we have to have that hope in our mind as we go through, so that we have something to look forward to. We have something to drive us to overcome. And the better, or I should say it this way, the more we understand about God's word, the more we understand about the promises of God, the more driven we become to serve Him. Because we understand Him. The more we learn about Him, the more we trust Him. And the more we fall in love with Him and His perfection and His, awesome power and glory. Anyways, hey, I hope you enjoyed that. We might we might do a couple more studies here on New Jerusalem. And then we're going to wrap this up. And then we're going to do a timeline of try to break down in a timeline all of the events of Revelation the best we can. Anyways, hey, hope you enjoyed that study. Do like what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 when He was tempted of the devil. He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." So see that you study His word every single day. I don't care if it's just for 15 minutes a day. Get into it. Make it a habit so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to support our ministry, please go to ChristianOvercomers.com. God bless you, and thank you for your support.
Thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of His terrible sword. His truth is marching on.